Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. My dear King, the merchant on the forest path of the material world, his intelligence victimized by home, wealth, relatives, and so forth, runs from one place to another in search of success. Sometimes his eyes are covered by the dust of a whirlwind. That is to say, in his lust, he is captivated by the beauty of his wife, especially during her menstrual period. Thus his eyes are blinded, and he cannot see where to go or what he is doing. Purport. It is said that household attraction resides in the wife, because sex is the center of household life. Yanmaitu nadi grihamedi sukham hitu cham. A materialistic person, making his wife the center of attraction, works very hard day and night. His only enjoyment in material life is sexual intercourse. Therefore, karmis are attracted to women as friends or wives. Indeed, they cannot work without sex. Under the circumstances, the wife is compared to a whirlwind, especially during her menstrual period. Those who strictly follow the rules and regulations of household life engage in sex only once a month at the end of the menstrual period. As one looks forward to this opportunity, his eyes are overwhelmed by the beauty of his wife. Thus, it is said that the whirlwind covers the eyes with dust. Such a lusty person does not know that all his material activities are being observed by the different demigods, especially the sun god, are being recorded for the karma of his next body. Astrological calculations are called Jyoti Shastra, because the Jyoti or effulgence in the material world comes from different stars and planets. The science is called Jyoti Shastra, the science of the luminaries. By the calculations of Jyoti, our future is indicated. In other words, all the luminaries, the stars, sun, and moon, witness the activities of the conditioned soul. Thus, he is awarded a particular type of body. A lusty person whose eyes are covered by the dust of the whirlwind of material existence does not at all consider that his activities are being observed by different stars and planets and are being recorded. Not knowing this, the conditioned soul commits all kinds of sinful activities for the satisfaction of his lusty desires.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
This broadcast? Hare Krishna. We are listening to the nectarian voice of the Paramahansa Swami Maharaj and the words of Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada and the Srimad Bhagavatam. Once you were walking with Sri Prabhupada in the in the deck of the existing temple, that was more or less where we were going to later install the foundation stone for the large temple of Vedic Pranthana. And there was some bullocks going around the stick with their feet there kicking some harvest. I forget, it was either sesame seeds or mustard seed or something. So Prabhupada stopped and he said, "What is that stick called?" And of course no one knew what the stick was called. It was a stick, you know. But so that is the Mayadanda. That is the translation, name means female. That's the female stick. that no matter how many rounds the vortex are making, they're always going around the room, so that the Vietnamese, they may do anything, but the mind is in their house. So I just thought I'd share that with you. But now we know that like the Vyastas who are practicing Krishna consciousness, it's actually to be focused on the life is a positive thing, because through that they can control their senses, and to a one person that can insulate them from the attraction of so many others. So Priya Rupta Das Ramachai, he was determined to be a Ramachai, but then he was approached by Rama and others, and by the Ramayana, that he should get married, and that by being married, his Grihastha Ashram would be like a fortress, so he'd be able to defend himself from the attacks of Maya. So husband and wife, they go around, they put Krishna in the center, and then they go around. To some degree, there should be a mutual attraction between them, that bond is important, whatever you call it, romance or whatever, but there should be something there. But the mutual attraction to serve Krishna should also be very prominent. That's the difference between Grihastha, Krishna conscious Grihastha, and say a real lady. A Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who we're going to speak about today, he said he would be a Grihastha and have 100 kids if he knew they all are going to be Krishna conscious. But there's no such a guarantee, of course. We try our best, but so he took sannyas. He never got married. His brother, Lalit Thakur, also didn't get married. But the other children, there are 13 in total. I don't know exactly, but I think they all got married. Today is the disappearance day of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. And the Vyas Puja is sometime, I think, in February, and that day Gaurav Indra Maharaj, he left the world, and that time we also have we have a joint gathering with all the Gaudiya monks together. This is the first day. It usually falls in December. So one time we had Prabhupada present in Mayapur for the disappearance day. So the mood like in a fair state, you kind of just celebrate that his great soul has come into the world. But on the disappearance day, you feel also like separation that he left the world. We don't get his association now. And left behind him a certain legacy that we have to follow. And that weighs very heavy, on the disappearance day, Prabhupada was here. He gave a long lecture, but at one point he started talking that the secret of success is to please the previous acharyas. And then he said how I forget all the details, but I think he said that Jagannath Babaji, he discovered the rough face. He confirm the exact location. Bhakti Vinodhaka, he did a door to do the temple, the first temple, at the workplace of Lord Chaitanya. I give Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He did a lot to develop the Navadvip Vyavadam. And then Prabhupada said, I'm trying to also do something to please them, to develop Vyavadam. And all of those followers of mine who are helping me, I'm very grateful to them. And he wrote down, he said, kind. And I was seeing that, what to do. People couldn't do anything. Probably was just choked up, crying. And this would happen very rarely, but sometimes it happened. And then he like waved his hands and chanted Hare Krishna. So, it was a very memorable for me. At least to some extent, I tried to develop the life of God. So, you can understand how important it was to Srila Prabhupada. Because he had to please his guru and the previous acharyas, especially. So, of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur, he also gave the instruction that we should distribute books. He called it the Vihat Vijaga. And of course, the new Advaita is famous for book distribution. But ISKCON all over the world were dedicated to distributing books because of the instruction of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. So, this water. This, I was told by when Dhammadhar Maharaj, who's a Rajabh of Srila Prabhupada, he was an instrumental, so sometimes we would sit with him. Prabhupada had a cordial relationship, friendly relationship with him. Later he gave us his ashram and we gave him some land and Jagannathpuri. He said that, you know, all he knew was that everybody had to chant 100,000 names, otherwise he wouldn't accept the offering. But that was for the pujaris and the people who stayed all the time in the temple at Mayapur. But those who were out work distributing or preaching, that they would chant 16,000 or 25,000. Plus, all day long they would do this sort of books or doing the preaching. So the ones that was interesting for me because that's more or less the standard that Prabhupada established in ISKCON. We chant 16 rounds and chant and preach. There's a few devotees that chant 100,000. I was once chanting 32 rounds and I was very proud. I thought, I chanted 32 rounds, And then it was like 10 o'clock and I went and finished the rounds, so he goes, and Prabhupada called me over. He was in Calcutta at the time. He said, "What are you doing?" I chanted 32 rounds. And then, "Who do you long preach?" He said, "I'll go and chant rounds." I say it's 16 hours of long preach. So that was the end of my 32 rounds. Now sometimes on Yath Puja or some special day we chant extra rounds. I chant a few extra rounds off and on, but especially to do like a Jamaster or something, we chant 100,000. But otherwise, I had the lineage to talk about the ground fish. So Vakti Siddhanta Maharaj Thakur, I heard about him from a different angle. So I'll share some of that with you. It was like one of my assistants was a Chakur Shik, and a really good team. But I won't talk about that. Because I would take him when I was at a car or something, and he was a Muslim, he had a beard, and he would like chastise the Hindu sadhaka, why are you trying to have money for the temple and so on? Because he was a Muslim, so the guy would be hung off of him. I would be 1,100 rupees. That's that simple. Anyway, so Chakra said when he was a small boy, he used to see Bhakti Siddhanta Sahaja Thakura, and that he would like walk, you know, Mayapur is hot in the hot season, so he would just have his, the tatis. And he would have a bare chest, so his arms would come down to his knees, and he had the three legs. He had all these signs of a great soul. As a Muslim kid, this chakra would run up to him, and he would carry a bag of sweets, and he would sweets to all the Muslim kids. And most of his land, like the Shivas Anga and all that, was donated by the Muslims. They gave to either the soldier or cost rice, or they donated some land. So he was very friendly to everyone. And they all loved him, they all appreciated him. So this chakra was telling you how, when he was a kid, he used to eat sweets out of the hand of Bhakti Siddhanta, Sarasvati Thakur. So one time, the name of the Chaitanya Bhakta, they came and they reported to Bhakti Siddhanta Sahaja Thakur that the laborers are going on a strike. They don't want to cut the rice. And if they don't cut the rice, they're going to lose the rice. They want more money. So he said, how much do you want? He said, well, that's unreasonable. Then he's showing where that rice is going that. They drew it out. He leaned down and he started cutting. So when the guru was cutting, and every rabbi cut. And then the guru said, okay. There's something that happened to Bhagavad. All the time the laborers, they made half the slab in Mayapur of the, what we call the long building, that means the Achaka guest house. And they went on strike. They said, to finish it, we want double the money. So then Prabhupada, he told us, okay, we'll finish it. So all the swamis and everybody came to the mix, you know, cement mix, cement, sand, and stone chips. I didn't care because I was running the machine. I knew how to run the machine. So I ran the mix axe, filled up there. We call karahis there, steel tails with the cement. And then when the workers saw that, they said, okay, we'll work with you. So, you see how powered all with power, Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Sai Thakur. Then we heard that in the Bhagavad temple, which later, Bhakti Siddhanta Sahaja Thakur, he had a talk with Srila Prabhupada, was it Radhakutma? But he said sometimes, I think, pull out the water from the temple. At that time there was a Bhagavatar temple, and he said, pull out the water, sell it, and publish books. So, one time when he was there, they had Anakut, you know, Anakut, that's a go-around puja. That's when you make a mountain of rice. Literally, in India, it's like maybe 6 to 10 feet long and 3 or 4 feet high of rice with all kinds of pakoras and other things decorating it. The king, they said, a dog took him and ate from the other coop. Smell everybody, can't eat it. All the people there, swear, a dog ate, shoot him. There's a new man, you see? Where's the exact spot? They said, here, you see right here. And they wrote, chuck this in. Really? You think of that? It's all right. Sure, like we were saying, it's all right, but don't do it. So Anakut went out there. Like that, he was very bold. I found out that I don't know when, but I was sick of this. We got the place where Prabhupada met Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Uttabhanga Road. And I went there once to see the place. There's a silver pavilion tree that Prabhupada sat under, the Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur sat under. There's mentioned that there's a venue, jackfruit tree is still there. So, was when I went, anyway. So then, at that place, the devotees were begging to get the alms, and they would cook the food and first give to Bhakti Siddhanta, Thakur. Then, whatever was left, they would divide, so they had very little food. They have actually started, so there's a lot of austerities. At that place, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said that there was the Vishva Vaishnava Raja Sava, that the Sampradaya would be protected. After Lord Chaitanya, it was Rupa Sanatana protected, and then there was Jiva Goswami protected, and like this, there was Srinivas Acharya, and Rajanas Thakur, Shaman Pandit, like that. It was handed down. So, he was the protector of the Sampradaya, it was Bhakti Thakur, and he was the protector. He went that far. And then he described that there is a different, these are called the Fatra Rajas, the protector of the Sampradaya. We can understand that Prabhupada is the protector of the Sampradaya also here, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So he knew the details, how the different aspects of the Vishva Vaishnava Sava, how it would defend the Sampradaya, how it would function, how to do a community dealing with the different, let's see, I can't remember all the committees, but one of them was for like going out and challenging other groups. One was like a kind of a one was for studying the Shastra and coming up with